Chapter 10. The Final Walk. The last bit was the hardest. All Harold could see was Rhodes. His heel started to hurt again, and he limped. He saw another mountain, another sky, another mile. It was all the same. Without love, nothing mattered very much. He fell asleep, wet, and woke wet. On. They were his only words. He did not know if he said them or thought them. At 3:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, Harold smelt salt on the wind. An hour later, he reached the top of a hill and saw a town before him, and after it, the sea. He walked towards the grey town walls of Berwick, but no one stopped or gave him food. 87 days after going to post his letter, Harold arrived at the gates of St. Bernardine's Hospice. The building before him was new and had trees around it. There was a sign pointing to a car park. Several people sat on chairs in the garden. His journey was finished. Harold stood at the front door. He thought about all the people who had helped him, the unwanted, the unloved. He was one of them. After he had seen Queenie, then what? He had to return to the old life that he had almost forgotten, where he lay in one bedroom, not sleeping, and Maureen lay in another. Harold pulled a rucksack higher and walked away from the hospice. As he walked, he passed a girl giving out bits of paper with dance lessons written on them. He found a small cafe and asked for a glass of water and to use the toilet, and he said sorry for having no money. The waitress did not look happy.
"Be quick then,"
she said, showing him to a door. In the toilet mirror, he saw a face that he did not know. He had cuts on his nose and cheek and a thick beard. He was very thin. When he came out, the waitress gave him a glass of water but did not invite him to sit. Outside the window, a man and woman were sitting with a baby. He turned to the waitress.
"I want my son," he said.
"Where is he?" she asked. "Is he in Berwick?" A customer came forward.
"Excuse me, are you the walking man?" he said in a kind voice.
Harold tried not to cry.
"My wife and I read about what you're doing. What's your son's name?"
"His name is..."
Harold paused. He could not remember his son's name. The waitress waited with customers behind her, and the kind man put his hand on Harold's arm. They could not know how terrible it had been, and the regret that was always in him. Harold ran from the cafe. All he wanted was his child. "Dear girl in the petrol station, I want to tell you the whole story. 20 years ago, I found my son dead in our garden shed. He had killed himself. It is not something that should ever happen to a father. I don't know why he did it. He was depressed, and he drank a lot and took a lot of pills. He couldn't get a job. My wife suffered terribly. She wouldn't leave the house. She put up net curtains because she didn't want the neighbors to know about us. She began talking to David. He was always with her, she said. Queenie knew all about David, but she said nothing. She cared about me. She brought me tea with sugar and talked about the weather. I began drinking a lot. I kept the bottles in brown paper bags under my desk. I just wanted to stop the feelings. One night, I got into the brewery and I did something terrible. Queenie knew that it was me and she let my boss blame her for it. She got fired and she disappeared without leaving an address. I heard that Napier wanted her to get out of the Southwest. I let her go. I let Napier blame her, but I stopped drinking. Maureen and I fought a lot, and then we stopped talking. She moved into the guest room. She stopped loving me, but she didn't leave. People think that I'm walking because I loved Queenie all those years ago, but it isn't true. I'm walking because she saved me, and I never said thank you. And this is why I'm writing to you. I want you to know how much you helped me all those weeks ago when you told me about your faith and your aunt. With best wishes and thanks, Harold Fry. P.S. Sorry for not knowing your name. Maureen had spent days getting the house ready for Harold to return. She had painted the dining room a soft yellow. She had baked cakes and biscuits and put the two photographs on the wall that she had found in his drawer. And now she was starting to dust and vacuum. But still, she asked herself, what would she do if Harold came home and told her that he needed to walk again? What if he had moved on from her? A ring on the doorbell brought her downstairs from her cleaning. A young girl with thin hair was waiting outside.
Please, could I come in, Mrs. Fry? The girl said.
During tea and homemade biscuits, the girl told Maureen that she was the one from the petrol station who Harold had spoken to all those weeks ago.
But what I said to your husband, well, I've been worrying about it.
The girl pulled a piece of paper out of her pocket.
Dance lessons?
Turn it over. It's a letter from your husband.
Maureen read it silently, crying at each sentence. It felt like the death of their son was happening again. Pulling her and Harold away from each other, as painful and as confusing as it had been 20 years ago.
Mrs. Fry?
There's something that I need to explain.
Maureen put her face in her hands and let the words come.
We shouted at each other at the beginning. I blamed Harold terribly. I said awful things. And then we stopped speaking to each other and I started talking to David instead. I said everything that I didn't say to Harold. Then I started to think, is David really there? Can he really hear me? I told myself that if I waited long enough, I might see him. But it never happened. He never came. The girl began to cry too.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Fry. I'm such a fraud.
Maureen reached out for the girl's hand.
Why are you a fraud? It was you who began his journey. You mustn't cry. My aunt's dead. She died years ago.
Maureen felt something falling away.
She's what? But what about your faith? I thought that it saved her. If you have cancer, there's nothing you can do to stop it. I'm sorry, Mrs. Fry.
Maureen put her face in her hands. She said slowly,
if anyone is a fraud here, I'm afraid that it's me.
The girl shook her head, not understanding. Then Maureen told her how, 20 years ago, Queenie Hennessy had come to 13 Fossbridge Road, asking for Harold. She was carrying flowers.
She said, "Could you give Harold a message? It was about the brewery. There was something that she needed him to know." She told me how she'd seen Harold sitting, crying in his car one evening. Later that night, someone got into the brewery. Some expensive glass ornaments were broken. They had belonged to Napier's mother. Napier went crazy. So Queenie decided to take the blame and told Napier that she had done it while dusting. She was fired immediately. The girl laughed, but she was crying too.
"So all this happened because your husband broke some ornaments. Did you tell him about her visit?"
"I threw the flowers away, and I never gave him the message. I let him suffer. You see, he was right to leave me."
Finally, the girl said,
"I don't think you're a fraud either. We all make mistakes. But I do know one thing."
"What?"
said Maureen. "If I were you, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be doing something."
"Like what?"
said Maureen. "I've already driven to Darlington."
"That was when things were good," said the girl. "A lot has happened since then.
I think that you should get yourself to Berwick-upon-Tweed.